This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Mic check, 1-2-1-2. Warning, you're about to hear two football guys from Monmouth University talk football for the next 15 to 20 minutes on The Fan. Joining us right now, my guy Connor Hughes from SNY. He knows a lot. I know a little bit. Together, it should be a good convo. What's up, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing, man?
I'm watching some hockey in here. The Devils are down 4-1. I'm just like, I don't know. Later, we'll talk about the trade deadline, but let's get to the NFL. Let's get to the breaking news from 2 hours ago. Former Jet, former Giant, Geno Smith is now the quarterback of Tom Brady, Pete Carroll, and Chip Kelly's Las Vegas Raiders. One, what do you think about that move, the trade, giving up a fifth-round pick to get him? And two, what do you think it means for them drafting a quarterback and how that could affect the Jets and Giants looking for a rookie quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, so the Raiders, I think the Raiders making a move for Geno makes a lot of sense because obviously he and Pete Carroll have a relationship from their time in Seattle, but also Pete Carroll's not a young guy. I mean, I know he's chipper and you speak to him and you talk to him and you think the guy's in his 40s or 50s, but he's not. So there's not that many years left. It is a win-now situation for him. So I don't know if he was going to have the luxury of drafting a quarterback, trying to develop him. If it doesn't work, getting another quarterback. I mean, this is a chance for him to go out there and get somebody that he knows. Really didn't cost him all that much. I think it ended up being a third-round pick, actually, or something like that. So it wasn't too much. They're going to have to find a way to pay him. Luckily for the Raiders, they've kind of had an influx of money recently, so they've got some cash to spend, which they've used on some of their coordinators like Chip Kelly and stuff like that. So it'll be helpful for them to be able to get a contract done now with Geno, because I don't think the Seahawks are willing to pay him the contract that he wanted. And now you've got a team like the Seahawks that are in the running for a quarterback. And from what I've heard and what a lot of people are talking about now is that that's probably a spot where Sam Darnold's going to end up in. So a little bit of ex-Jet for ex-Jet relationship working there.
Yeah, so with Sam Darnold, you know, I just was talking earlier about Sam Darnold being a locker room guy, Minnesota not being able to move on from him, but like, you know, in a quote unquote not strong quarterback draft class and also a weak free agency here, Sam Darnold is at the top of the food chain. Sam Darnold also with like the quarterback carousel, right? You know, now Matthew Stafford goes back to the Rams, Geno Smith with the Raiders. From what we're hearing, Kirk Cousins would like to get out of Atlanta, but they don't have to let him go. They can keep him there. What do you think Sam Darnold's going to get paid? Because a lot of people are saying, oh, he hurt his he hurt his chances of making the big money with those last two games. But I'm like, he could still possibly get that $40 million a year that Daniel Jones got.
Yeah, no, he definitely hurt himself those final couple weeks there. I mean, but he hurt himself in terms of he took himself from 50 to 55 a year contract and probably dropped them to $40 million a year, if that, maybe a little bit. He might actually want a shorter term deal just so he can re-up again, basically really prove it again next year, and then almost kind of like re-up with another renegotiation or something like that. So it's a different position, but sort of like what the Eagles did with Saquon Barkley, where they then rewarded him with a contract extension that put some more years on there. But he's still probably looking at $40 million a year. It's just he's not going to get the 50. He was looking at there for a portion where he was actually in MVP consideration for the Vikings before those final two, three games of the season. But he was actually someone, Keith, that I heard the Giants had been poking around, and the Giants were interested in Sam Darnold. I just don't think there was a lot of reciprocated interest from Darnold with some of the other options that he was going to look at, and the Seahawks are certainly one of them. I mean, he's from that area of the West Coast. Chance to go back there, chance to play with a couple of guys that he knows, a better situation with defense, offense, a little bit more of a stable organization, a situation where the coaching staff is going to return next year and probably the year after that. You don't know if that's going to be the case with the Giants. So now you kind of have the Giants out there looking for a quarterback, a veteran to pair with a rookie, and all signs right now, Keith, point to that quarterback being Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, let's talk Aaron Rodgers in a second. But, you know, as I look at Seattle, they're drafting 18th overall. Mm-hmm. They're shopping DK Metcalf. They release Tyler Lockett, and they make this trade. One would think that they're rebuilding, but maybe they're just reloading. I look at that division, though, and it's like the Rams aren't going anywhere. The Niners most likely, you know, re-sign Brock Purdy. And, I mean, you know, the Cardinals, who knows? Nobody can predict the NFL. Maybe the Seahawks are actually going for it. They're not. You know, I just said earlier tonight, I'm like, maybe they're kicking the can down the road to, you know, next year and drafting one of these top quarterbacks coming in next year. But we can't do that. You know, the Giants fans always talk about drafting Arch Manning next year. And, you know, this regime might not get there. Let's talk Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about the real possibility of them signing Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's just pointing to him redoing his house in Jersey and that he was just here with the Jets is the main reason. He doesn't want to move. But I've also put out there that, like, he doesn't have that many suitors. He doesn't have that many options. Like, not for nothing, not everybody wants all that Aaron Rodgers brings. And I know we like to leave this out because we want to look at the numbers and the stats and say, look at how many yards and touchdowns he had. Like, he had moments of last year where we're like, this is not Aaron Rodgers anymore. He can't put together a drive to win it. He was turning the ball over, chucking and ducking. So what do you think about the Giants? Is that what they're trying to bring in the building?
I'll answer it two ways, Keith. But it makes no sense to me from Aaron Rodgers' perspective. From the Giants' perspective, it makes a ton of sense. I mean, I don't think there's a better veteran quarterback out there that they could get not named Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think Rodgers is a far superior player to Kirk Cousins. I think he's a far superior player to Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or anybody else you're going to find out there. Maybe not Sam Darnold, but Darnold's not really an option. So I think he would be a great person to bring in here to the Giants building, four-time MVP, former Super Bowl champion, somebody who's wildly respected. You pair him with a rookie, and it would almost remind me of when you had Kurt Warner, although Kurt Warner maybe didn't have some of the off-field headlines that Rodgers does, but it was Kurt Warner with Eli Manning. And Kurt Warner started for a few weeks, and then eventually they gave way. The Giants started struggling. He gave way to Eli Manning, and the rest is history. I think it's a perfect situation for the Giants. It does. From a football standpoint, you bring him in here, I think he'll make Malik Nabers better. I think he'll make Theo Johnson better. I think he would make Wandale Robinson better. I think he'd make Jalen Hyatt better. I think he would help just with the wealth of knowledge that he has bestowing whatever quarterback the Giants end up drafting. I think that would be perfect. What I can't wrap my head around, and it's, again, I've talked to so many people across the NFL over the last few days, week or so, ever since I got back from the combine, and everything that everyone keeps telling me is that this is going to get done. Everyone is right now convinced that it would take a total curveball for Rodgers. I wouldn't say to not be the Giants quarterback, but right now the way that people are operating is like, okay, yeah, this is eventually going to get done. Like that, this, I'm not talking about the Giants building. I'm talking about people outside the Giants building are all like, okay, yeah, that's where Aaron Rodgers is going to end up with the Giants. Knowing Aaron from covering him the last 2 years with the Jets, knowing how he views himself, what he wants to accomplish towards the end of his career, I just can't wrap my head around why he goes to the Giants, because no matter what the Giants do this offseason, with Aaron Rodgers, what's their ceiling, Keith? Like 7 wins? maybe eight. I mean, if he wins eight games, that's spectacular. So does he really want to end the final year of his career getting his teeth kicked in with a team that has a worse offensive line than the Jets, worse skill makers than the Jets, a coach and general manager whose jobs are on the line, and playing a position where if he struggles for 4 or 5 weeks, there's going to be cries to go to a rookie, and in all likelihood, they would go to the rookie. Like, it doesn't, I can't see how that makes sense, but everything everyone keeps telling me, and now granted, a large reason for this, because I don't think there's that many other options for Aaron. Like, I don't, the Rams were certainly one, but when they stuck with Stafford, that obviously took Aaron out of it. I don't get the sense that the Vikings are overly interested. The Seahawks seem like they want Sam Darnold, like maybe the Steelers, but now the Steelers are pretty committed to trying to get Justin Fields or Russell Wilson back. So it's almost like if Aaron wants to play, and this is what other people around the NFL have told me, again, unaffiliated with the Giants, have told me, is that if Aaron wants to play, basically his only opportunity right now is with the Giants. And that's why it's going to work. But still, like the common sense of it all is like, okay, yeah, I just don't get it from Aaron's side. I just don't get it. Unless he just literally just wants to play football, that he's like, who's ever going to give me an opportunity? I'm going to go out there and give my best. And if that's the Giants, I'll go play for the Giants.
Yeah, the odds are not in his favor for this to go well. They have the toughest strength of schedule, the longest Super Bowl odds. Like, they have a GM and head coach on the hot seat. The odds are not in his favor to come in here and go to the playoffs and succeed. And he's going to get beat up behind that offensive line.
I will say this. This is one thing I will say. And it's probably the only odds that are in the Giants' favor right now. The fact that the Jets chose to release him and then he goes cross town to the Giants, the Jets' luck is that he takes him to the playoffs in the Super Bowl and he wins the Super Bowl next year. Like, that's the Jets' luck. Forget the Giants and all within common sense. The Jets' luck is that Aaron Rodgers takes the Giants and wins the Super Bowl.
On the cheap, too.
Like,
while the Jets are paying him all this money and the exactly. Giants don't pay him anything.
Yeah, that's the Jets' luck.
You know, the thought occurred to me. I'm like, there's not many other options. I don't think he goes to Pittsburgh. Yeah. I don't think that they're bringing in all that he is. But I'm like, where would he go? And when you look at all the teams, there's nowhere for him to go. There's two places I think he could potentially go, but I don't think he'll want to go to the Cleveland Browns, right? They need a quarterback. He's not going to go to Ohio. He's not going to play in the cold. He's not going to go out there like just to play football. If he's going to just play football, it's the Giants. But then I started thinking about the Colts. Because they said they're going to bring in a quarterback to compete with Anthony Richardson. I'm like, well, that's a dome team, and maybe they take a flyer on him. They had Joe Flacco, like maybe the Colts. But no, I think all signs point to him staying right here in New Jersey. And I think he's so much about himself that like his ego is going to tell him, all right, I'm going to go stick it to the Jets, and if I can win six games, I do better than I did last year with the Jets, and I just don't go out with the Jets let me go. Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji fired me. I go across town and have a better season than the Jets potentially.
Yeah, because that's the thing is that I've had people say like, Aaron, well, he's going to go there and he's just going to think he's going to make the Giants a Super Bowl contender. I got to know Aaron pretty well, man, and he never struck me as that guy. He's a realist. I mean, he's very, very confident in his own ability. He's confident what he can do as a quarterback and that he can still play. But I don't think he's one of those guys that's like, oh, we're immediately a contender as soon as I walk in. I mean, he's understanding of what a team needs to do, how they need to win games. I mean, he was like that with the Jets the last couple of years with what they still needed to add, what they were missing, things like that. So it could be that. Let's just go stick it to the Jets. Let's just go play some football, have some fun. But again, from the Giants standpoint, I get it. It's just from Aaron's, I don't, unless literally this is his only option, which it very well might be. Because like I said, Keith, I've talked to, I don't even know how many of the guys that I know across the NFL, coaches, assistants, executives, agents, every one of them has pretty much has themselves convinced that, Aaron's going to the Giants. Almost, it's just a matter of time. Now, we'll see if that ends up happening as is in Giants sources, but there are people outside the Giants building that are privy to the situation. I'll feel like this is eventually going to get done.
Yeah, because it's just like that is his only spot to go where he's the starter. Even if they draft a rookie, he's starting week one.
Pittsburgh, I think there's maybe Pittsburgh would be one too because they don't have anyone else. But again, like
I don't Pittsburgh know if Tomlin
does he
and
go to Pittsburgh,
and Rooney.
Well, him and Tomlin do like each other. There's a lot of mutual respect there between Tomlin and Rodgers. Like there is. It's just a matter of does Aaron want to go to Pittsburgh? Does he want to play in Pittsburgh? I don't know. But again, the concept of playing the Philadelphia Eagles, Commanders, and the Cowboys and Micah Parsons twice a year for that division. I mean, that doesn't seem super appealing to me. I mean, again, it's. I if you do the pros and cons, like I don't know, the only pro for Aaron Rodgers to go play for the Giants is, okay, I'm playing football still. Like, that's literally the only pro. Like, there are a million cons to one pro.
The con is you're going to get sacked a bunch of times. You're going to be in pain. You're going to be hurt. You could be knocked out of the season. You know, we'll go back to the Pittsburgh thing, but what I'll say the other option is maybe he humbles.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
...himself, and he sits on the couch. I mentioned Joe Flacco. Maybe he pulls the Joe Flacco from a couple years back, and he waits for a team that loses QB1 to say, hey, we need a guy, and then, bum-ba-da-dum, here comes Aaron Rodgers to save the day.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, I haven't talked to him within the last couple of weeks to know, like, just to say to him, like, hey, what's the reasoning for it? I'm looking forward to when he kind of comes out of, because he does this. Like, he sticks to himself. He keeps to himself. He needs to make his decision, talk to the people in his inner circle, and then he comes out and he'll explain his decision. I'm very much looking forward to getting a chance to talk to him and understanding if he chooses it, why did he choose the Giants? Like, well, like, because it's, again, he's not somebody. From getting to know him the last couple of years, he is not somebody that's just going to do something to do something. He is going to have every possible exit route understood, every possible danger and red flag understood, the pros, the pay. He's going to have it all. I mean, he's so calculated and meticulous with the way that he thinks. I mean, it's, again, from just talking to him, like, people have this perception of him. He's completely different than what people think. I mean, he really is a fascinating person to talk to, because you can understand, kind of see how his brain starts to work, and he really is an intelligent individual, where I'm very curious, when he does kind of come out of hiding a little bit and explain his thought process, to know what his thought process is if he does ultimately choose the Giants, because it's not going to be something as simple as like, yeah, I wanted to play, they were my only option, so I'm playing. I mean, he's going to see something in that organization to decide to play for them and not just retire.
Yeah, maybe they tell him they're going to draft Travis Hunter you know, he'll have Travis Hunter and Malik Nabers to throw the ball to, and he'll be like, all right, well, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I did hear from someone that, and I trust this pretty, I trust this wholeheartedly, that this, if the Giants do ultimately land Rodgers, and Rodgers does ultimately land with New York, the Giants, this will not be Jets 2.0. This will not be, okay, give me your list of the guys you want, and suddenly Alan Lazard and Davante Adams and Mercedes Lewis, although Adams, again, I think he wants to go West Coast, but he is somebody that still can play. I'm talking about like his buddies, like when the Jets brought in
Randall Cobb
and Billy Turner and like all these guys that couldn't play anymore. It's not going to be one of those things where like, oh, whatever you want to do. I mean, it's going to be one of those where, okay, Aaron, we signed you. You're a quarterback. We're now going to fill out the rest of the roster. Like, that's how the Giants would approach this thing.
Yeah, and the Jets got to keep their ear to the street with Justin Fields, because there's a lot of talk about, you know, reuniting him with Garrett Wilson, and also a lot of talk about the Steelers choosing one of him or Russell Wilson. I would think they'd be more inclined to go back to Justin Fields, who they started off 4-0 with, But then obviously you give the respect to the veteran and Russell Wilson, who came in and changed their, you know, their passing game. But ultimately they ended up losing five in a row to end the year. I'd want to move on from Russ and see another year of development out of Justin Fields and Arthur Smith's offense. But I think there's some hesitation from Justin Fields because he's like, hey, I want to be the starter. I don't want to come back here and you guys sign another veteran or you draft a young guy. Like, I'm not trying to compete. I want to be the starter. I kind of joked about Kenny Pickett, who went to my high school at Ocean Township. Like, Kenny Pickett was frustrated with the Steelers because, you know, he got hurt and didn't get his job back right away. And then they signed Russell Wilson, and he's looking like, I'm the guy. You drafted me first round. I'm the starter. And they're like, you got to compete for it. We're not giving you anything. And, you know, I think there was some back and forth that went on there where they ended up just trading him away to Philly. Yep. What do you think about the Steelers and their two quarterbacks that have a good market out here? And both could be in New York. Russell Wilson could potentially be with the Giants if they don't go through with Aaron Rodgers, and Justin Fields could be with the Jets to pair him up with Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, that's the talk right now. I mean, the Steelers run a pretty tight ship in terms of leaks, so not too much gets out of there. But it seems like they either want both back or they want one or the other. And the fascinating thing about Russell is it kind of feels like his personality sort of ran its course towards the tail end there of that season with the Steelers, that by the end of the year, I don't know how beloved he maybe was within the locker room, and I don't know how much the coaching staff really valued him. I'm not sure how that all went towards the end. I mean, there were some rumblings and stuff that came out of there towards the tail end of the season that they were kind of just, you know, again, Russ is Russ. It's the same stuff that happened in Seattle. It's the same stuff that ended up happening in Denver, and you can go ask some of his former teammates that have been, you know, vocal about it in recent years about, you know, kind of the same stuff was happening at Pittsburgh. Then with Fields, it was just a football decision that they made. Everyone loved him. The coaching staff loved him. Teammates loved him. Players loved him. They were winning with him. It was just, they felt like Russell Wilson was a better quarterback at that point in time. But if the Steelers are ready to commit significant money financially to Fields, and Fields looks at this, I mean, I think he views the Steelers as a situation that's better for him than maybe what the Jets situation would be. But if Fields does shake free and he gets away from Pittsburgh, that is the guy that, from my understanding, the Jets really, really want. They are high on Justin Fields. They would like to have Justin Fields in here. I think he is their top priority at quarterback. I do believe that. And then if that does not happen, if Fields ends up going to the Steelers, I think that's when you would see the Jets pivot, and they'll target another second-tier veteran quarterback with Tyrod Taylor and then look for somebody in the draft as well. I mean, I heard Marcus Mariota tied to them. I heard Carson Wentz tied to them. Basically have the
Jameis Winston. Bring Jameis Winston here.
Yeah, right. Hell, I'd love that, man. I'd love those quotes. I'm a big Jameis fan, just from a media point of view. Yeah, but and then you'll target somebody probably in the second round of the draft, not there at 7, and I think that would be what they'd be looking to do.
How do you feel about Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugi? I have said this. I'm not a Jets fan, but I'm a football fan, and I've watched the Jets, you know, struggle and Jets fans suffer, and I feel like Jets fans are hurt. They are jaded. They are traumatized. They have PTSD where they don't even want to believe that these guys could be making the right moves, that last year could be the last year that they don't make the playoffs. Like, they don't even want to give them the shot to, like, build their own roster, build their own team, and potentially have success. I think a lot of people are saying, you know, they're walking into a buzzsaw. How do you not bring Aaron Rodgers back? What the hell are they doing? But I'm like, I look at their demeanor and their resume and what has been said by others about them around the league. I'm like, these guys are all business, and they're getting to the business. And I don't know if it's going to necessarily turn into wins in year one, but it doesn't have to be wins year one. It's a culture change. It takes some time. It could take a couple years, but I do think they're the right guys for the job.
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to be completely and totally transparent with you here, Keith. So I started covering the Jets in 2014. So I got the tail end of Rex and John Idzik. Then I got Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles. I got Mike Maccagnan, Adam Gase. I got Joe Douglas, Adam Gase. I got Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh. And now I'm on to Mugi and Aaron Glenn. I've gotten to know Mugi a little bit over the last month or so, just from seeing him at the combine and talking to him and things like that. And I think he's a very, very respected person. You talk to people who know him, agents, scouts, personnel people, coaches, people who've known him from Denver, just around the league that have negotiated with him and things like that. Everyone has the utmost respect for him. Everyone speaks so glowingly of him. Aaron Glenn, a little bit more jaded, but that's just who he is. He's a Bill Parcells disciple, so he kind of has a little bit of Parcells in him. With that said, I'm done completely and totally 100% trying to figure out who's going to be good and who's not going to be good. And I'm just being honest with you, man. Like I think where I was just kind of threw my hands up and I'm like, I'm just waiting to see them win games. When they win games and they feel the team that is competing week in and week out and winning 10, 11, 12 games a year and getting into the playoffs and making a run, that's when I'll turn around and be like, Aaron Glenn's a good coach and Darren Mooji is a good general manager. But until then, no one knows. They're first time guys who have never done it before. I mean, Joe Douglas was literally create a GM. He cut his teeth behind Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore. Well, I mean, one of the most stable, well-run organizations in the NFL. Then he went to Chicago briefly, but then the Philadelphia Eagles, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, learned underneath Howie Roseman, one of the most brilliant general managers in the world. He was a player. He was a personnel guy. He was a former Turk with the Ravens, worked his way up, literally the perfect everything you want in a general manager, and it didn't work. Adam Gase was the brilliant offensive mind. Todd Bowles was a longtime assistant. Robert Saleh was the hotshot assistant who was brass and looked the part and screamed and yelled and did all that stuff, and none of it's worked with the Jets. I'm done thinking like, oh, this press conference was good. Oh, this guy said a nice thing about him. I hope these guys do well because I really want to cover winning football because then everybody's in a good mood. But I just need to see it on the field. I need to see the Jets win football games. And when I see the Jets win football games, that's when I'll tell you what I think about Mooji and Aaron Glenn. Until then, again, I mean that no disrespect to anybody, but until they win games, nobody knows how good these guys are going to be.
I hear you. Fool me.
Yeah.
Fool me. Yeah. Fool me. Can't fool me again.
Dude, I'm on fool me six times, dude. It's like fool me six, seven, eight times. I'm done, dude. I'm out.
We're on the phone right now with Connor Hughes, NFL reporter from SNY, covering the Jets and Giants. Last thing for you, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. Yep. I feel like now we're a week removed from the combine, so all the smoke screens, all the smoke and mirrors, all the, Cam Ward is the clear-cut number one, and Shedeur is too cocky and brash and, you know, came off like he didn't care. Like, what do you think about the Giants trading up to number one to get Cam? How real is that? And then what do you think about Shedeur potentially falling to the Jets and them maybe taking him?
Yeah, the interesting thing about Shedeur is that I heard the interviews weren't all that great in Indianapolis. And what I mean by that was that the way that it was described to me was that when he interviewed with teams that he felt would or had a chance to legitimately draft him, it was great. It was a great interview. It was engaging. It was everything that we saw behind the podium when he dazzled the media. When he interviewed with teams that he didn't think was going to draft him or didn't think had any chance of drafting him, it was like, why are we wasting our time here? Like, you know, so it was one of those things. It wasn't like I'm going to give everyone the same time of day, which rubs some teams the wrong way. But this guy's going to be so, I don't know if that's normal from other prospects. This is just, this guy is so polarizing and you either love him or you hate him. And that's why you have some people that are saying, hell yeah, I'd take this guy top five. And you have some guys saying, I wouldn't take this dude till the fifth round. Like, it's just, he's a polarizing prospect. With that said, I talked to in Indy and when I got home from Indy, I talked to people from, I don't even know how many different teams, probably a dozen, little over a dozen. I did not have one and could not find one that had Shedeur Sanders ranked ahead of Cam Ward. So if the Giants, as most people expect them to do, eventually execute a trade for the number one pick in the draft, whether or not they get Aaron Rodgers, it's the expectation that is for Cam Ward. That is what everyone around the NFL feels. Again, this is not Giants sources that are telling me this. The Giants are keeping their plans close to the vest as they have. But people around the NFL, that is what they are telling me. If the Giants trade up to number one and take Shedeur Sanders, they will truly be zagging when everyone else is zigging, which, okay, that's only a big topic on draft night. If Shedeur turns out to be a stud and Cam Ward's a bust, or even if Cam Ward's great, as long as Shedeur is great as well, it won't matter. Joe Shane will look like a genius, but they will truly be going against how every other team really feels about the rankings of these quarterbacks. As far as the Jets taking Sanders at seven, I think if he's there, that's an intriguing possibility, especially if they go the Tyrod Taylor, Carson Wentz, Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota, or even just Tyrod Taylor and insert other veteran quarterback here route. If they go that, get Shedeur, let him sit behind these guys for a year, learn, develop a little bit, and then put him in there when he's ready. Basically go the opposite of what they did with Zach Wilson, where they just threw him out and kind of baptism by fire and basically burned Zach Wilson alive those first couple years here with the Jets. I think that would be an interesting prospect. I do, though, to be completely transparent with you, I think the Jets probably go somewhere else other than quarterback at seven, and then they probably try to get a quarterback there in the second round. I just don't think with some of the other prospects that are going to be there. I mean, Shador is probably in a normal draft class, a late first round pick. I don't know if the Jets are going to reach for him. I think Warren is probably a better shot there. Graham's a better shot there. Tet McMillan, probably a better shot there as well. All of those players would help the Jets a little bit more than Shador would. I just think that's a risky pick at seven.
Yeah, I like Tet McMillan a lot. I hope he falls. Maybe if he falls to the Jets, like I hope he does fall to the Jets, because him and Garrett Wilson could be a great tandem. And I think you got to absolutely love Shador Sanders to take him there. And I don't think the Jets will be in love with him. If they are able to get to Justin Fields and they do feel comfortable with Tyrod Taylor and they could draft a quarterback in the later rounds, the Jets have so many holes. And like addressing wide receiver right there, that's a sexy pick that fires up the fan base, that addresses a need. And I think you move that way.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a good call.
Connor, you're the man. I'm not going to take up any more of your time, but I got to ask how your daughter is. Has she arrived at her terrible twos? My son is in his terrible twos early.
Not yet, man. She's 20 months old now, so she's still the cute little toddler, but she is getting an opinion now. So she's getting to the point where when we tell her no, it's the drop to the floor. It's the kind of throw the hands up. We were at the indoor playground today, and she didn't want to leave, and she lets you know now when she doesn't want to do something. Yeah. I'd say that's kind of the development.
Yeah, work. There's going to be some preferences on food that weren't originally there. Some fight with, hey, we got to go to bed. We got to get in the bath. We got to leave.
Yep.
Yeah, it turns into a little bit of a struggle, but it's all a blessing, man. God bless you and your family. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Appreciate you, man. You guys too.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.